Moses, Joseph, Gideon, David, they all had the odds stacked against them. But in spite of their weakness, God helped them to become great men and women in the Bible. There's so many more. Moses was tongue-tied. Did you know that he stammered? And he became a great leader. Joseph had a prison record. Gideon didn't have enough faith to believe God. And David was the youngest, untrained, but God helped him. And he'll do the same with you.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message on the plan God has for each and every one of us. It's a good plan to give us a future and a hope, as it says in Jeremiah 29:11. Well, today we'll be looking at several obstacles that stand in the way of us fulfilling that plan. There's adversity, fear, and sometimes just plain old laziness. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, God has a plan.
I want to encourage you to think it through and make wise and biblical goals. Because when you do, you'll start to progress to the person that you want to become. Well, some people say, Wayne, that might be good for you. No. Would you write it down? Making plans and setting goals is for whom? Everyone. Yeah. Even if you're 85 years old, let's read the scripture, go. And now, behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today. It's usually at 85 years old when someone sits under a coconut tree and waits to die. But I want you to know, if you're 85 years, listen carefully, you're never too old to start making goals. Did you know that Michelangelo did his greatest work when he was 87? Arthur Rubinstein, the great piano player, played at Carnegie Hall when he was 89. Colonel Harlan Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken didn't start making his fortune until he was 70 years old. Albert Schweitzer continued to run his hospital in Africa when he was 89. And did you know how old Benjamin Franklin was when he led the charge for us to adopt the Constitution of the United States of America? He was 81. Caleb was 85, and they're still setting goals. And on the other end of the spectrum, you're never too young to start setting goals. I remember very precisely, I can even see the room in my mind, when I was in about, I think I was about the fifth grade, sixth grade, somewhere in there, but I was in Japan, my father was in the army, I was an altar boy in a Catholic church, and some nuns and some priests said, come with us, we're gonna go to this orphanage. So I went with them, and as I saw them working with people and helping people, now, here's this little kid, I remember saying to myself, when I grow up, that's what I wanna do with my life. I wanna somehow help people in the name of God. Now, just a little kid. Then I strayed from God, but that was in my heart, brought me back. And I set very specific goals, and now I'm 85 years old today. But you're never too young, never too young. Now let me give you a little warning. Reaching our plans requires what? Effort. Let's read that scripture. Go. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me, Caleb said. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and for coming in. Caleb said, I'm 85, but I still got some strength. I know I have to have it because it's going to take effort. Now you got to hear me very carefully. Everybody listen. God promised the land to the Israelites. But even though God promised the land, they still had to contend for every square foot of it. Because there are giants in the land. You see, God has given you promises. Well, the Lord said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How come I don't have it? No, that's a promise for your marriage, your life, your finances, your social life. God says that, you know, I'm supposed to influence my family. I don't. God promises that to you. But let me tell you, sir, brother, although God has a great plan for your marriage and a great hope and goal for your marriage, you have to contend for every square inch of that. Sister, God has given you great promises, but it's not just going to be handed to you on a silver platter. You got to contend for every square inch of that. Because sometimes we say, God, just give that to us. No, God says, I want you to contend. I want you to understand punctuality and character skills and people skills. Learn how to repent. Humble yourself. Learn. Get wiser. Oh, now you get this, and guess what happened? You've become a different person. You understand? And God wanted this part as much as you wanted this part. He wanted you to grow in the process. That's why you have this theology that goes out. That sounds cool, but it's wrong. It's that prosperity theology. You know, you just name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. And so you just grab this because God promised it, but you don't have the character. It's going to kill you. So you contend for every square inch of that. And when God does give you that promise, you can sustain that and it doesn't destroy you. That's why when we as Christians take shortcuts in dating and marriage and sex and all of this other stuff, we just take all these different shortcuts. That's why when you finally get there, it doesn't work out. And people say, see, marriage is bad. No, marriage is fine. So you weren't ready for it because you didn't do it God's way. And all of the character qualities that are necessary to sustain this, you didn't have because I'd rather take a shortcut. God says, no, I promise you the land, but you got to contend for every square inch of it. Because there's a reason for that. There's a reason. In fact, even Solomon, who was the wisest man on the face of the earth, said this in Ecclesiastes 5:3. Would you read it? Go. The dream comes about by much effort. It's not going to be handed to you. Know that the wisest man said that. It's going to take effort because effort is a part of the dream. Now, it's going to take effort because there's giants in the land. And I'm going to give you three. Are you ready? Write these down. Here are the giants you're going to have to overcome. Here it is. Number one, it's the giant of what? Adversity. Very good. You will never attempt anything significant in your life without somebody opposing you. You will never attempt anything significant in your life without someone standing in your way, criticizing you, discouraging you. You will need to overcome the giant of adversity. Want to know the second one? Second giant is a giant of fear. Fear of failure. Fear of people not accepting what you have. It's a giant we fight all the time. You know what I've come to realize? There's going to be critics and there's going to be family. I love my family. They clap for me. They love me. They tell me, keep going. My wife gives me hugs and massages. Honey, if you're listening, please continue. They do this. But you know what my critics do? My critics oppose me, tell me where to get off, tell me how terrible it is. But guess which one, family and critics, all right? Guess which one takes me to my knees? Guess which one compels me to cry out to God. Guess which one of these compels me to rethink my goals, to make sure that what I'm doing is God, that I'm doing exactly as the Lord says, to check my heart, check my motives. Which one of these do you think causes me to seek God more? I love my family, but God bless my critics. Because they make me the person that I need to become. Is it easy? No, it's terrible. I hate it. But that's what God uses, the giant of adversity. So there's a giant of adversity, a giant of, what was the second one? And here's the worst giant of all. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here it is, Christian. It's the giant of laziness. Yep. One of the greatest tragedies of Christians is that they fail to realize their full potential because we're too lazy. Please listen. God is not a God of convenience. He's a God of likeness. God's goal is for you is not leisure, it's likeness. And if we want to serve a God to make everything easy, then we'll become soft pushovers. But he's developing men and women who are brilliant in these last days, who will represent Christ as servant leaders, as men who are the greatest husbands and fathers, businessmen and thinkers, who understand the kingdom of God and what's eternal from what is temporal. Remember this, however, labor or hard work always precedes success. Hard work always precedes success. So understand and define success, because there's the internal, external, and eternal measurements. And I write down goals so I'll remember who I am and become what God wants me to be. And then understand that you've got some giants in the land. So you look at that mountain in front of you and you say, give me this mountain. Don't settle for anything less. He was 85 years old. He said, give me that mountain. Life will not give you what you deserve. And you know, a lot of times life won't even give you what you pray for, even what you ask for. Nope. Remember this. Life will not give you what you ask for. Life will give you what you settle for. Well, that's the way my wife's going to be. That's fine with me. That's how it's going to be then in my life. That's just how it's going to be in my family. That's exactly what you're settled for. That's why you are where you are. Don't settle for that. Well, if that's the way my boss is going to act, forget it then. If that's what they're going to do in this church, forget it. Don't settle for that, because life will give you exactly what you settle for. It'll keep pressing on you to the lowest common denominator. You settle for that? Yeah, I'll settle for that. Good. That's what you get. Because as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. Press on. That's why Paul says, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and I press forward to what lies ahead. Till I apprehend that for which I was apprehended for. Oh, not that I've laid hold of it yet, he said, but this is what I do. I continue to press forward toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So write those down. And by the way, in your notes, we've got some homework. You say, well, what is it? Well, the homework is four things you start on. Start on just these four things. Write down some goals for your spiritual life, your social life, mental life, and physical life. Start there, your spiritual life. Write down, I do devotions once a year now. Okay, go for like once a week, just once a week. In the next month, twice a week. Your social life. What are some of the things you need to get right in your social life? Maybe some things you've got to develop. Start with reading Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I mean, just improve yourself. And then your mental life. I'm not saying you're mental. I'm just saying your education. You don't read books this month. Read one book. 200 pages, 50 pages a week. You can do that. One book a month. And then next month, two books a month. And then your physical. look in the mirror and say, give me this, this is a mountain. I mean, I'm not talking about your weight, you know, it's like, ooh, I've got to get in shape here. Well, then you write it down. What am I going to do? Start walking twice a week, three times a week, then four times a week. Just walk. Put in 30 minutes, that's it. And then increase it. And you'll start to enjoy it more and more. That's your homework. But you say, Wayne, I don't know if I can do it. I've tried, can't do it. Here's the best news of all. God will help you. Ask Him. Ask Him. God will help you. Caleb understood that. Read this fabulous verse. I love this verse, the 12th verse. Are you ready? Read it. You yourself heard then that the Amalekites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. Here it is. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said. Isn't that good? With the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as He said. Moses, Joseph, Gideon, David, they all had the odds stacked against them. But in spite of their weakness, God helped them to become great men and women in the Bible. There's so many more. Moses was tongue-tied. Did you know that he stammered? That's why he wanted Aaron to be the spokesman. I could just see him. God says, I want you to speak to Pharaoh. He said, no. Can't speak. Nope, you're going to do it. And he became a great leader. Joseph had a prison record. Gideon didn't have enough faith to believe God. And David was the youngest, untrained, forgotten. And Caleb was 85. But God helped him, and He'll do the same with you. I want to encourage you to be a people of the 3%, especially for the kingdom of God. And God will help you, I promise you. But let me end with this story, true story. It's about a fabulous artist named Herkimer. Herkimer was a fabulous artist in London, one of the best. He built a studio in London and then built an upstairs room for his aging father, who himself was, in his own right, a great artist. He was a wood carver, and he would make things out of mold and then make sculptures. He would mold clay and just be beautiful. Sometimes he'd fire it in a kiln. So his dad came to live with him. His mother had passed away, and his aging father started to develop arthritis, and he would try to mold these figurines, but they would be contorted and asymmetrical. It was just rough. And one night, this gifted Herkimer heard his father saddened because the mold that he was trying to develop in the clay was left disfigured. And with a sad heart, his dad got up from the table and rubbed his hands and slowly walked up the stairs, discouraged, leaving behind knowing that he didn't do very well. Herkimer, his son, waited for his dad to go to bed, and then he snuck in to his dad's studio and turned on the light, and with his gifted hands and his phenomenal ability in art, began to finish off what his father left behind. And with the greatest of precision and detail, made the most beautiful figurine and then left. And the next morning, story is told, he heard his father come down and see what's there on his table. And his father said, I still have it in me. I even amaze myself. I read that and I laughed and I thought, that's just like us. We do the best we can and we give it to God, and God says, I'll help you. Because you see, not only am I the author, I am the finisher of your faith. I'll finish it off. And so you do what I'm asking you to do as best you can. And then I'll help you. And when we're done, your life will be beautiful. Find out what God has for you. And start writing them down. And then make it your prayer list. And work towards it. And you watch what God's about to do. You'll not only be in the upper 3%, but you'll hear all of heaven say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That's the kind of people we want to be. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Would you believe me if I said to you, God has a wonderful plan for your life? He does. And the first step to getting there is, if you haven't received Christ, open your heart to Him. Let Jesus be your Lord and Savior. Because then He will unroll the blueprint that He has for your future. And then you start to write down, for this season I get to do this, and for this season I get to do this, and my long range, I'm going to do this. And then you start walking that GPS. It gets embedded into your heart, and there's a single-mindedness that comes that leaves you unavailable to be tossed to and fro. But it begins with His lordship in your life. And if you've never said yes to Jesus, please do so today. It'll be the most eternal decision you will ever make in your life. Ever. Watch what He can do. But the Bible says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." God's a gentleman. He doesn't barge Himself in. He doesn't barge His way in. He knocks. "And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in." So now's your choice. Will you open the door to Him? He's knocking. If you've never received Christ, do so today. Would you bow your heads? If you're here and you say, "That's me, Wayne. I don't understand everything there is to understand, but I want to give Jesus a chance." If that's you, would you raise a hand right now and say, "I need to receive Him. I receive Him." Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good. Hold him up just for a second more so I can see him. Just hold him up. Hold him up. Yeah. Good. Good. All right. You too. You too. Yep. God sees your hearts as well as your hands. Yeah, yeah, good, good. Okay, you too, honey. If this is the first time you've received Christ, ushers outside will have a yes packet. Grab one from them. Tell them, "Can I get a yes packet?" It'll help you so much in your first few steps with Christ. And I'm going to ask all of us to pray this prayer together. And so would you repeat these words after me, even if you've said it a ton of times before? Let's renew our hearts today. Would you say this? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving me and dying for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. And I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for helping us to be the church after your glory. I pray, Lord, that every day we will be changed from glory to glory into your image. We will catch the vision. We'll write it down, that which we believe that you would have for our lives. And then we're going to follow that like a GPS. Check ourselves. Oh, from time to time, it'll change. But Lord, thank you for giving us a clear pathway to being the people of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, welcome these who said yes to Jesus.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled God Has a Plan by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the world in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.